It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We have a trade to announce. Those three great words from the National Hockey League. And you don't.
That was more than three
We have
words.
A trade. Sorry. We have a trade.
Is
what I'm thinking.
Words?
From the commissioner, Gary Bettman, at the National Hockey League draft to get to everybody's attention. So now we have five words. We have a trade to announce. Is that six words? Four words. It's Darren Millard along with Stormy Bonantoni. We are Nighttime at Noon from City National Arena getting you ready for the National Hockey League draft, which takes place 1 week from tomorrow. The first round will be taking place virtually. We'll run you through everything that's going to happen from a VGK front. The second round through seventh rounds will be held on Wednesday. And then free agency is on Friday. And we've already seen a lot of roster juggling going up to the start of the draft and free agency as teams get their house in order. And that includes the Vegas Golden Knights. And Stormy, we have a trade to announce.
I got to tell you, I'm really proud of the way that you rebounded from that very Monday-esque start.
Are
of
you
the
kidding?
Number of words.
I'm on fire.
You're like incredible at counting. Very impressed.
I am awesome.
But yes, the Golden Knights made a trade. Brandon Peary in exchange for Dylan Sekera at the Chicago Blackhawks. So it's like the first time in a while I feel like we've had breaking news on the show. So exciting stuff. Brandon Peary was a guy who did really good things with the AHL club for the Golden Knights, caught lightning in a bottle with the VGK, not this season but the year before for a little while, but never really panned out, I think, the way the Golden Knights had expected on the NHL roster in the games that he did play. Just 2 points, I believe, in the games he played this season.
He didn't score this year in 16 games.
Yeah, which I think was a disappointment in a lot of ways because he had such explosiveness the year prior when he was given the opportunity on the NHL stage. But a good addition here, I think, with Dylan Sekera, a Hobey Baker Award finalist when he was in college with Northeastern. They won the Bean Pot in the time there as well.
Hold on. Northeastern won a Bean Pot?
They did. Don't tell Dave Gosher.
That happens like once every 25 years, doesn't it?
As you get trash thrown at you
Eastern
from a Northeastern alum.
Hmm.
2018.
Oh, and that was Sekera's senior year.
Yes, it was.
And then he graduated to the National Hockey League, was a draft choice of the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't know whether he and Peary ever crossed over with the Chicago Blackhawks organization, but a couple of Blackhawk draft choices are swapping places here. Sekera, one more year left on his deal, which is a two-way deal. Mid-20s, player with some upside. Doesn't have the National Hockey League resume as what Peary has, but there's some things to really like about his game.
Yeah, he just had his first career NHL goal this season, 1 goal and 2 assists in 9 NHL games this year. In his AHL career this past season, 14 goals and 33 points in 45 games with the Rockford Ice Hogs, their AHL affiliate. But just kind of an interesting thing, though. I liked how you were talking about that, the draft picks that Brandon Peary was with the Chicago Blackhawks back in the day. And obviously very familiar with Chicago, having played for the Wolves as much as he has. So I'm sure he'll feel very comfortable going back.
And here's some Dylan Sekera trivia. He played with his brother in Rockford.
Yeah, so I wonder if he's a little bit sad that he's separating from his brother. But he gets to come to Vegas, so.
You're so funny.
Ooh, baby.
Yes. So probably a tweener guy, Henderson. And if needs relate to it than the Vegas Golden Knights, but Silver Knight, Golden Knight guy. Again, one more year left on his contract, has a goal and 3 points in his National Hockey League career, and has mainly been used in the American Hockey League, but was a sixth round pick of the Chicago Blackhawks back in 2014. Dylan Sekera comes over from the Chicago Blackhawks in a 1-for-1 trade with Brandon Peary. We will get to Gordon Wagers in just a little bit as he stops by and brings us up to date. You can send questions to your Twitter handle or the VGK Twitter handle. Both? Okay. So you can send questions for Stormy and I, and Gordon will go through them, make sure that they're good. He's very strict in that, and he'll fire over some stuff to us. And he will also bring us up to date on Dylan Sekera, just a little bit more behind the curtain on what the left winger will bring to the Golden Knights, Silver Knights organization. And boy, interesting trade, though. Peary was a guy that wasn't happy with his season and gets a fresh start, I guess you will, with the Chicago Blackhawks. Dylan Sekera, though, it should be mentioned, was with Chicago in the bubble. And I think that there's definite currency when you talk about who's in the bubble and who's out. That's a feather in the cap.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of the things I was just reading about him during the training camp period and everything, it seemed like the Blackhawks were really impressed with the way that he handled himself during the pause, working really hard to get better. And as you said, was up in the bubble. So great stuff there.
Saw that first round series against the Vegas Golden Knights firsthand, and now he's on the other side. So things happen fast.
It's always funny how those things happen.
Yeah, but you're right. We've been sort of sitting on this, waiting for something to happen on the Golden Knights front after watching a lot of transactions kind of stack up over the last 5 or 6 days as we approach the buyout window and then into that over the course of the weekend. So it's nice to get a little bit of news, and we wish Brandon Peary all the best and looking forward to the arrival of Dylan Sekera with the Golden Knights, Silver Knights organization. We also have a game of significance tonight in the National Hockey League. And Lord Stanley will be in the building again with another opportunity for the Tampa Bay Lightning to win its second Stanley Cup in franchise history. There's a few people surprised that it's going to a sixth game, and there's just that idea of not judging your team in the middle of a season is really holding true with the Dallas Stars, because this is a team, Pavelski seemed to struggle to fit in and find his place in his first year with the Dallas Stars. Corey Perry was bought out by the Anaheim Ducks and was playing for a different organization for the first time, and maybe the points compared to his career were certainly not there, but those two players in the middle of the season were well down the real front of the stage type of role, and now they are leading the way.
Yeah, and they come out and combine for all three goals and the win to force a game six. And just before we really get into a lot about this game, I imagine that both teams have to have felt so good to have had a day of rest yesterday.
Wow.
To a back-to-back in the Stanley Cup final, which is just crazy to even think about to begin with.
They looked tired, didn't they?
And three total overtimes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And how could you not be? I was exhausted just watching half the time. So good for them.
Anton Hudobin at times. I wasn't sure when the puck went out of the zone whether he was even going to bother getting up until at some point the puck changed possession.
Well, and tell me how he was better on Saturday than he was on Friday, given that.
I can't explain it. Shots just hit you sometimes, yeah. But you're right. But he looked tired in Game 5. Vasilevsky, I'm not sure. There was maybe some mental mistakes. He was puck handling. He bobbled a couple of things. So I don't know whether that was playing into the fatigue factor. Star players playing a ton. Mm-hmm. And those four defensemen for the Dallas Stars all logged over for their six defensemen that Dress started the game, played over 30 minutes of ice time in that game. So you're right, the one day off, and then we go back at it tonight. Do you have like a gut feeling as you pay attention to this series of where this is going to go? We're such a ride the hot hand, so that in that case is Dallas and what they're doing right now. But it's I kind of get this eerie feeling that we're going seven.
I wanted to go seven so bad, and I've really enjoyed watching the Dallas Stars lately, just the way that they were down but not out, you know, and maybe they should have won that game on Friday, you know, it seemed like in a lot of ways that they were going to kind of escape with it late, and they just weren't able to get it done.
Don't get me started on the penalty, because the penalty was moved, because they got away with one at the end of regulation.
You said don't get me started, but then you're going, so just go. Darren.
Just,
I want to know.
The people that we're talking about Dallas getting hosed on the overtime penalty, take a look at what happened at the end of regulation when Corey Perry hooked down Braden Point between the legs and the embellishment call. That should have been a power play at the end of regulation that carried into overtime. You got away with that and offsetting Miner. So just sometimes things just even out. You end up 69 cents above, or you end up 69 cents in debt when you go to the ground. One or the other, but things are pretty much even by the time you go.
Well, you say things even up, and I think that they did in terms of the games too, because they come back and they're able to win on Saturday after the first overtime. I thought there was no way Tampa Bay was going to lose that game. Dallas could not get out of their own end. I feel like they never had the puck.
Odd strategy, like, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's not usually what you try to do in a game if you want to have success. But I don't know. I'm just coming into the series, I fully thought Tampa Bay was going to run the table, and then they take a 3-1 lead. You think that the table is set for them to go on and just win it in five, and they don't. And so now I've totally flipped my thinking, and I am in that ride the hot hand scenario. I think that Dallas is going to make this one fun, and I really, really want them to get a win tonight and have it go to seven. Who wouldn't want a game seven in the Stanley Cup final? Come on.
So the roller coaster that this Dallas Stars team has been on during the course of this bubble, we go back to game one of the round robin, and they're in control against the Golden Knights, and they give up a quad in the third period. And you wonder, where is this team? Like, what are they doing? They're trying to change things around in their defensive zone to give them some more pressure up ice. Rick Bonus says, when we have it going on, we're good. When we don't, we're bad. Then they kind of rally in the round robin. And in the game against the Calgary Flames, they're 11 seconds from going down 3-1, and they find a way out of that. In the next round against Colorado, they make the bizarre goalie change and halt all their momentum. They find a way out of that.
They create offense like crazy against the Golden Knights.
They just clog it up. And in this series, they're still alive against all odds.
It's really been, I think, fascinating to watch just the ups and downs that they've had, what they've had to overcome throughout the series. Now they've got all these injuries.
I'd be a wreck.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I can't imagine being a Dallas Stars fan this postseason, how wild that must be.
And Rick Bonus makes the tweak with his top two lines, and that's benefited him. And that's parlayed itself into Tyler Seguin getting involved in this series. So who can figure out what's going to happen tonight?
Yeah, I think I've really enjoyed Rick Bonus this series. He's been coaching his tail off. He hasn't been afraid to shuffle the deck. He makes that change with Pavelski and Tyler Seguin, even though on that Pavelski goal, wasn't it Seguin, him, and Ben all out there on the face-off? So he's just doing whatever he can do.
Three centers.
And it's been working for the most part to keep them in games. And Tyler Seguin, 3 assists last game. He is somebody that, even though he hasn't had the goal, and you know, you think at some point maybe something's just going to come off his stick. I mean, come off his skate and go in the net or something wonky just to get him going. But you can see the confidence really starting to rise in his offensive game.
I stayed away from talking about Joel Pavelski as much as I could. Just a bad word around here, and I gotta acknowledge this guy's the all-time leader amongst American-born players in the Stanley Cup playoffs when it comes to goals. He has that record, but hasn't won a Stanley Cup. Like, that's hard to do, to put up those kind of numbers, have that kind of longevity in the Stanley Cup playoffs, that kind of experience, and never have won the thing before.
And now to have the opportunity within your grasp the way that you do right now on a new team and all the things that come with that. And you mentioned how the regular season things didn't really come together for him with this team the way that you had hoped. To have this opportunity so close, you know how excited he must be and how much he's fighting for it. And you saw that with the game-tying goal on Saturday.
We just had somebody walk into the studio, so I wonder if they have news for us. So we'll take a break and come back with that. Hopefully, we have a little bit of news. Want to say hello to Golden Knights fans as you listen and we get prepared for the National Hockey League draft and free agency. VGK Authentics is the official home for all game-used Vegas Golden Knights merchandise, from game-used pucks to game-worn jerseys and much more. Owning a piece of your favorite Golden Knights player has never been so easy. Check out all the great items on VGK Authentics by visiting VegasTeamStore.com. Back with more with Stormy Bonnertoni on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Out to Klingberg, right point. Moves left along the blue line and shoots, blocked in front. Rebound, save, rebound, score! Dallas score! The Stars win it! And stay alive! It looks like Corey Perry did it again.
I think so.
In the second overtime, at 9:23 of the second OT, the Stars score to win it and stay alive.
The incomparable Sam Rosen with Joe Micheletti on the Westwood One radio call. Dallas Stars extending the series to a sixth game. Sam's awesome. Micheletti's great.
I felt the energy.
Yeah, they were doing a great job. Buddy Court, Darren Pang is part of that intermission as well. So they're doing a great job over on the radio side of things as the Dallas Stars stay alive to force a Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry doing the job for the Dallas Stars. We'll see if Nikita Kucherov and company have an answer back. But there is some news regarding Steven Stamkos and his availability for the rest of this series.
Yes, he is officially out for the remainder of the series, which quite frankly kind of surprised me a little bit that John Cooper was willing to announce it and didn't milk it for a little bit longer, because he has been throughout the postseason that, hey, tune in tonight kind of guy, or make sure you're watching warmups, you'll find out then. Although I will say, obviously, the illusion of Steven Stamkos coming back and playing a solid 18 minutes was not going to happen. Like, that illusion from the Stars' perspective is gone, so I get it from that standpoint. But I was just really surprised that John Cooper came out so early and said Stamkos is out, he's not going to be playing anymore. Were you surprised by that at all?
Do you like it when coaches play games?
Yeah. I mean, from a media standpoint, no. From a fan standpoint, yes. I think it's kind of, I like when coaches are a little bit entertaining.
And just tease you a little bit.
I find it fun. What can I say?
Cooper can do that without being smarmy or condescending.
Because, there's a way to do it. You see some coaches that are a little like, no, I'm not going to tell you. You'll find
out
later.
We have Belichick.
A little, yes.
Like, Belichick is more on the direct / rude side of it. But he still won't give you the whole goods. And Stamkos, we know, will not play. Do you have an idea on, like, when it comes to Tampa's top players, do you have, you're looking at me quizzically, where are you?
Yeah.
but who is the player that now has to step up? Because they got that Stamkos boost the other night.
Oh, my gosh. I was so excited for him, too. Like, I don't know if you're just a fan of the game in general, how hyped up were you for that moment when he steps on the ice, scores a goal? And just as somebody watching the game, whether you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, a Stars fan, whoever you are, you're like, unbelievable that happened. And I was so excited for him, and I was so bummed with what happened after that, and that he is going to not be available moving forward. But who needs to step up? I think their best players have to be their best players. You need Nikita Kucherov to continue to have points. You need Braden Point to get in there and be good.
Just not sure how much more they can give. That line is producing so much.
Yeah, and they just got to keep it up. Stanley Cup final, Darren. Yeah. Don't mess around.
We just got word. Dylan Sekura, who the Vegas Golden Knights acquired today, is going to join us in a couple minutes via telephone from Canada. So looking forward to that, and we'll quiz him. We have Gordon in here from the communications and content department, and he's going to also pop on. And they have some history from Northeastern, so we might be able to watch one of those moments.
I feel like we're not going to get any questions in, because it's going to be a lot of reminiscing for Gordon.
So we may let Gordon introduce Dylan.
I think that's great.
As a way to really make him comfortable within the organization, and then we'll hit him with a couple of real heaters.
Yeah, I'll hit him with a really hard question, like, yeah, how's your golf game?
That's good. We'll have to find out where he's golfing. So that's coming up. Dylan Sekura, the latest member, most recent member acquisition for the Vegas Golden Knights, acquired for Brandon Peary today. So that's bit of fallout from what we're seeing around the National Hockey League leading up to the start of the National Hockey League draft in a week, and then free agency a week from this Friday. And it's going to be different. It's going to be unique because we're doing the draft virtually. It'll be really interesting to see how everybody's set up. The Vegas Golden Knights are heading up to Rock Creek Cattle Company, and they're going to head there and do everything from Montana. And we'll see. We have one pick. The Golden Knights have the first pick in the first round, 29th overall. So one pick in the first round and two
when
picks.
When you said first pick, I was
No. No.
We're getting Alexi Lafreniere? What?
I believe the New York Rangers have that pick. The Golden Knights have one pick in the first round, two picks in the third, and then pick in the sixth and seventh. So looking forward to how things relate there. Also wanted to pick your brain just a little bit about the Staal brothers.
Yeah.
And what's happening here and the fallout from this free agency week and a half. I mean, we've seen a couple of them traded now.
Crazy. Within what, like just a matter of days, 10 days that Eric and Mark Staal have both been traded. Eric, of course, traded to Buffalo, Mark to Detroit. But yeah, I think that the Mark Staal trade was the more surprising one of the two. I didn't see that coming at all. And for essentially the team that let him go just to have additional cap space.
Right.
So.
Which is important.
And which is very important now with the flattened cap, yes.
And that leads us to where Henrik Lundqvist is in all of this. Kind of thought we'd have an impression on what the New York Rangers were going to do with their franchise goaltender. They said over the course of the weekend that they weren't going to do anything. Now that it's the start of the week, what is up with the future of Henrik Lundqvist? Will he be bought out by the Blue Shirts?
I mean, it seems like it's going to happen, right? Because, I mean, if you're Henrik Lundqvist, I'm not going to retire and leave money on the table, personally. Mm-hmm. But... like, I don't know, he's 38 years old, 1 year left on a 7 year deal, $8.5 million. That's not an easy buyout either, but it seems like that's what they expect to do, especially with the two young goaltenders that they have coming up. Yeah, I don't know.
So you talk about sort of hiding your hand or teasing as a head coach. This kind of feels like that's what we're going through in this waiting process of what the Rangers are going to do. And it, I mean, are they shopping them? Maybe. Does that impact what the Golden Knights are going to do with their goaltenders? I don't know. There's a lot of things in play. And are the New York Rangers the tipping point in all of this?
I don't know. I mean, I think based on what's the player's name? The Czech player in the interview that's his teammate. Oh, what's his name? Hajek? Does that sound right?
I don't know.
Well, he said that I was reading that there was like a Czechoslovakian interview that one of his teammates did. And I want to say it's Hajek is the name. But he said that that Henrik Lundqvist is saying goodbye to all of his teammates. So I think that if you're trying to, you know, hide your cards a little bit, that interview probably did you in, and that is If you're saying goodbye to everybody, you're planning on leaving. You're expecting to be bought out.
Do a lot of perusing of the Prague Times, do you?
What can I say? I'm I can speak many languages. No, I'm just kidding.
we have Dylan Sekura coming up in just a little bit. We will chat with the newest member of the Vegas Golden Knights organization. We'll take a break right now and come back with a little bit about what's happening around the National Hockey League, some trade rumors to tell you about, and one restricted free agent in particular that seems to intrigue a person in this room. It's Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
City National Arena, Nighttime at Noon. Darren Millard, Starman Bonartoni, working our way through this day. Looking forward to the start of the National Hockey League Draft a week from tomorrow. Rock Creek, Dave Goschert, Gary Lawless, Shane Knighty will all be in attendance. The Hockey Operations Department for the Golden Knights will be up in Montana making the calls, and you will be able to watch that and listen to it on Fox Sports Las Vegas, the entire first round, and then the second round through seventh round on Tuesday with Gosher and Lawless and Knighty providing the analysis of the National Hockey League draft, and then they'll take a breath before coming back for the start of free agency on October 9th, which is a week from this Friday. 9 a.m. Pacific time is when free agency starts. We'll see who takes a run at the likes of Taylor Hall, if Taylor Hall should get there, or all the free agent goaltenders that are available. But Stormy, we should bring in a special guest. Dylan Sakura is going to join us in a couple of minutes, and this is the man that knows Dylan Sakura from their time together at Northeastern.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gordon Weigers.
How
are
we doing, guys? Thanks
so,
for having me.
Gordon.
Darren?
You have some ties with Dylan Sakura, so give us the 411, and we'll bring Dylan on in about 14 minutes' time just to make sure that that you're telling the truth.
Thrilling that he's joining this organization. I had the pleasure of watching him for 4 years at Northeastern. We both kind of started at Northeastern University in the heart of Boston, Massachusetts, around the same time. And my first year covering the Huskies was Dylan's first year with the team, and he was a Blackhawks draft pick, and there was some hype around this kid. You know, he had a lot of skill, and I wanted to see what he could do at the college level. And it took him a little while to get his feet wet. He only had 7 points in his freshman year. He played maybe half the games, and then in his sophomore season, he started to blossom. He had 28 points. And was a key member of Northeastern's first Hockey East championship since 1988. He played on a line with Mike McMurtry and Adam Gaudette, who Golden Knights fans might remember from their second round series with the Canucks. And from there, he continued to skyrocket. He had a career high 57 points in his junior year. He was playing alongside Gaudette and Zach Aston-Reese to round out one of the strongest top lines in all of college hockey. And in his senior year, 54 points again, so he really showed his progression through his 4 years in college. And at the end of that fourth season, he signed with the Blackhawks, got in a couple of games before the end of the season, and since then has been back and forth between Chicago and Rockford. But
what kind of player is he?
He is a winger who, he's not one of the biggest guys on the ice, but you see his creativity and his skill every time he comes near the puck. He's a guy that, he'll make moves that, he'll fool everyone in the building with. He'll show pass and then he'll shoot, or he'll.
Does he have a signature move?
I don't know if he has a signature move, but if you look up some of his highlights from Northeastern, he scored one goal against the University of Vermont where he had the puck for what felt like 5 minutes, and he was just dancing around guys and ended up shoving a shot upstairs. But just a guy whose creativity and hockey sense blend with his hands and his speed to a point where he can be a dangerous player, especially on a power play.
Looking forward to chatting with Dylan Sakura in just a little bit as he joins Nighttime at Noon with Darren Millard and Stormy Bonnetoni. Gordon, give us what you got here. You like to bring some different things. You like to bring some trade rumors and some questions. So fire away.
Spice up our life.
Yeah, I was digging into some trade rumors the last few days, and even in the hour leading up to the show, a tweet from Bob McKenzie reporting, there have been talks about Jack Eichel getting moved out of Buffalo, and
I think Jack might be starting those talks.
He might be. He's got all the right people's phone numbers, mm-hmm. I'm sure. But the New York Rangers, who you guys were just talking about in the last segment, were one of the teams mentioned by McKenzie in his tweet. Now, we talk about the salary that's been moved from Mark Stahl to open up space for the Rangers. They do have that intriguing first overall pick. In my mind, as someone who plays be a general manager mode on NHL 20 all the time, if I'm the New York Rangers, I'm happy to move that first overall pick if it means I can get Jack Eichel.
I'm not.
No?
Stormy?
Wow. That's a bold move. I feel like, there's what have we talked about so much when it comes to this draft and how everybody's been chomping at the bit to get Alexi Lafreniere. Like, that would surprise me a lot, but just the talk about Jack Eichel in general has absolutely shocked me with that news coming out.
Does the Ranger window open up to win a Stanley Cup with Jack Eichel?
I think so.
Why do you think so?
Look at their depth at center if they get him. They've got him, Mika Zibanejad, Ryan Strome, Filip Hedl still coming up. That's center depth that you would have to look around the league very closely to find something that's comparable.
Yeah, it certainly puts them into conversation, but and it speeds up your program. But are you better off waiting for the generational player that we think Lafreniere will be? I know which way Jack Eichel would probably lean on this. He wants to be able to win now, and he's extremely frustrated and has voiced that the last couple of years. But
using that exact word.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Say, I'm fed up and I'm frustrated.
And I believe he used a couple of other words behind the scenes. But the Buffalo Sabres already traded Ryan O'Reilly away and watched him blossom and then win a Stanley Cup. Do you how patient are you with a Jack Eichel?
Well, I mean, if you're sitting on Jack Eichel and not moving him, I mean, he's not going to regress right now. He had 78 points this year in a shortened season. He's just taking off as he's a superstar in the NHL. That's what he is. He's second overall pick, and he's their guy. But
doesn't it show how much a team game hockey is when you compare Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid, the 1-2 picks in that star-studded draft, and the success that those two organizations in Edmonton and Buffalo have had in the Stanley Cup playoffs is really very limited, and yet you've got these two marquee players.
It is, and you know, thinking of Eichel going second overall in 2015, another name that's out there right now, the second overall pick in 2016, Patrick Laine. What an intriguing name that is right now. He's got 1 year left as a restricted. He'll become a restricted free agent. $6.75 million right now with the Winnipeg Jets. He's a guy that he scored 44 goals in his second year, and you know, if you watched him this year, there were points where you would say, geez, he's the top goal scorer in the NHL. Yeah. He scored 5 goals against St. Louis in 1 game this year. And then if you watched the Winnipeg Jets in the months of December and January, you might have forgot he was on the team. Is that a guy that a team would be willing to give up a boatload for?
We talked about this on the VGK Insider Show a week and a half ago. We had Ken Wiebon from Sportsnet, who covers the Winnipeg Jets. And it's intriguing. Like, no fan base comes up with more rumors than the Winnipeg fan base. And right up there with the Golden Knights, the Winnipeg Jets, our hockey operations department is with limiting information and getting out of it. Mm-hmm. So anything that comes out of there, you know, is pretty much from the fan base.
Yeah. But I feel like if you're Winnipeg in this case, like, you'd have to be pretty blown away by whatever is coming back to you, because this is a guy who's, what, 22 years old. He's had 30 plus goals in his first 3 seasons in the NHL, would have had 30 this year had it not been for COVID. He had 28. Like, this is a player that is, he's your star now. He's your star of the future. Like, that, you'd have to get a lot back to give that up, in my opinion.
And how much they play him with Scheifele and mm-hmm. Wheeler. I know that's been a conversation over the course of the last couple of years. He wants that skating time with the top two forwards. Paul Maurice likes to balance it out a little bit more without all of the eggs in one basket. They need a number two center, Winnipeg. So you talk about the Jack Eichel trade, like, think about that. Is that something that could be swung there?
Well, it's almost an embarrassment of riches on the wing for them with mm-hmm. with Wheeler, Laine, and Kyle Connor. That if you had to part ways with one of those players to get a piece that you really need, it's worth it, in my opinion.
Right. Embarrassment of riches is something I'm used to hanging out in the studio with you, Garrett Callaway.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of Garrett Callaway, I didn't let you know that this was going to happen today, but yesterday we played a round of golf with our producer, Garrett Callaway.
Yep. And
thanks for the invite.
Next time, Storm, we'll get you out there.
I've been down that path with these two.
And Darren, if I recall, you and I were partners, and we had a sizable lead in the game that was cut short due to darkness. I just wonder if Garrett's itching to play those last 3 holes and see who would have won that match.
Garrett wasn't itching to play the first hole yesterday, so I can't imagine that he's itching to play. He did par the first hole.
I wish Garrett could talk on the show right now, because I don't have any golf issues with Garrett right now, but I have some fantasy football issues with Garrett, because we're
playing each other.
Yeah. We're playing each other, and someone was talking a good bit of trash to me over text, and now I'm up like 13 with, we both have 1 player to go on Kansas City. It all comes down to tonight, but I have Travis Kelce, and he has their running back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I think I got the dub. Nobody Come
talks,
on.
Nobody talks more trash than Garrett, and nobody loses their phone in Lake Mead faster than Garrett and goes completely dark.
He sent me the painting nails emoji. That's how confident he was that he's not even paying. He doesn't even need to pay attention.
Yeah. We are going to.
What a jerk.
Well, it'll be an intriguing finish to your matchup tonight. Speaking of intriguing, Josh Anderson, restricted free agent for Columbus. 2 years ago, 27 goals in a full season. This year, 26 games, one goal.
Yeah.
One goal.
That's a heck of a drop off. He was hurt, though.
Well, yeah.
He was
hurt. Upper body injury.
But when you look at what was wrong with the Golden Knights' attack at the end of their postseason run this year, wouldn't you have wanted to see a Josh Anderson getting to the net, getting to those dirty areas? That big body. Imagine him on a line with Chandler Stephenson and Alex Tuch.
Yeah, and he can skate too. So you're right about that. He's a restricted free agent. Darren Ferris is his agent. Things generally get dragged out with Darren when he's representing. That'll be a difficult negotiation given the success that he's had, Josh Anderson, in the past and coming off the injury plague season. I don't wish Jarmo Kekalainen, I wish him all the luck and the patience in the world, but I feel bad that's going to be proactive.
Can we have a segment on the show moving forward called Will He Stay or Will He Go?
As long as we can capture that as the intro. Absolutely.
I think it'd be good.
We are going to, he's going to stay. He hasn't arrived yet, but we're looking forward to chatting with him for the first time. Dylan Sekera, acquired by the Golden Knights this morning. And we will chat with the newest member of the organization as we continue on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Heads up. 1 week from tomorrow, the National Hockey League draft virtually starts with the first round, and you can be there with Fox Sports Las Vegas and the Golden Knights as we head up to Rock Creek Cattle Company. It's a hidden gem located in the heart of Montana. 28,000-acre cattle ranch has something for everyone. World-class golf, fly fishing, hunting, horseback riding, and more. Escape the bright lights and discover Big Sky Montana. Exclusive memberships and real estate opportunities are available now. Visit rockcreekcattlecompany.com for more information. Vegas Golden Knights looking forward to the opening round of the National Hockey League draft. They have one pick in the first round, 29th overall. We will get more into that in just a little bit, but right now we want to bring you in to welcome, a big Vegas welcome for the newest member of the Golden Knights organization, Dylan Sekera, who was acquired today from the Chicago Blackhawks in exchange for Brandon Peary. Dylan, thanks for joining us today on Hockey Nighttime at Noon. We really appreciate it. Where are you? What are you doing right now, and how are you absorbing the news?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Actually on the golf course, so going to get used to the warm weather that I'll be have year round. Never had that before, so pretty excited for that. But awesome news, and like you said, very excited to be a part of an awesome organization.
Where are you playing?
Just a little course back home. Just slowed up, got some time here on the tee box, so it worked out perfectly.
I want you to hit a shot while we're on the air before we let you go, okay? That's not a full commitment there. You're on with Darren Millard, Stormy Bonantoni, and say hi there, Gordon.
What's up, Sicky? You got Gordo here.
What's going on, Gordo?
Good to hear from you, pal.
Excited
to have a hockey's champion and beanpot champion on the show here. First time for that. Dylan, tell us a little bit about what you remember from playing against the Golden Knights this past season and what you thought of everything going on in Vegas.
Yeah, we got down, lucky enough, we got down there the one time and we got to play there. And I think if you kind of ask anyone around the league, that building is amazing. I think the night we played, they had the circus in between periods. The warm-ups seemed like a concert and all the dancing girls and everything. It was pretty crazy. So, if you ask around the league, it's an awesome place, awesome environment. Obviously, the success that they've had since becoming a new team into the league is amazing, and excited to hopefully help that and join that team.
Darren Millard, Stormy Bonantoni, and Gordon Wagers joining us with Dylan Sekera on Nighttime at Noon.
Yeah, Dylan, this year, milestone for you, scoring your first NHL goal. Take us through what you remember from that. It must have been an amazing moment.
Yeah, it was an amazing moment. It was a long time coming. Waited a while for that one, so felt like the world lifted off my shoulders when that happened. But yeah, I'll never forget that day. Obviously, it was against Detroit at home. Nice little play. Kane gave it to defenseman Gustafson, and he threw it on net. And got a little lucky bounce, and just happened to be in the right place, right time to put it home. You know, luckily the goalie was on the other side of the net for that one, but nonetheless, they all count. So I was excited to get that one out of the way, and you know, hopefully get many more.
Hey, Dylan, Stormy Bonantoni here. Just for fans here in Vegas wanting to get to know you, how would you describe your game? How would you describe yourself? What's this organization getting with you joining the fold?
Yeah, I think, you know, throughout my career, I've always been a smaller guy, but a skilled kind of forward, good speed. You know, hopefully I'd like to bring some different dimensions to my game, obviously growing as a pro. But, yeah, I think a speedy kind of winger up down the wing, up and down the wing kind of guy who hopefully can, you know, produce for you guys.
What's it been like for you the last couple of years getting to learn from some of the veteran leadership that you've had on the Chicago Blackhawks organization, guys like Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, having those people around you?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I'll never forget, you know, those memories. I think, you know, sometimes when you're in the locker room and on the ice with those guys, you kind of never forget those moments and everything they taught you. And, you know, lucky enough in Chicago, there's so many older guys with so much experience, and the names you mentioned, you know, the kind of guys that I always looked up to growing up and was fortunate enough to play with. So it was amazing. And those are kind of the experiences that I'll never forget. And, you know, just watching those guys kind of compete on a daily basis, and obviously watching Vegas versus Chicago in the playoffs this year, it's pretty cool because kind of getting an understanding of where Vegas is at as a team and where they can go as well. So it was pretty awesome to see. I actually had them picked after that series to win the Cup. So, you know, hopefully within the next couple of years.
That was well done right there. That little drop in at the end was very well done. Dylan Sakura joining us, the newest member of the Golden Knights, acquired by the Golden Knights from Chicago for Brandon Peary earlier today. This is Nighttime at Noon. How did you find out about the trade?
I just heard from first from Stan Bowman, obviously the GM, and then Kelly McCrimmon had given me a call, and I think, you know, throughout the years from my college experience and then obviously playing in Rockford against Chicago, which was the Vegas affiliate team. We played them 10, 12 times a year down there. So I think there's a lot of exposure that way, which I'm happy about because they got to see me play at kind of both levels and even in college. So I think they kind of know what kind of player they're getting, and hopefully I can exceed those expectations.
And you still went out and played a round of golf. Was it planned or was this a celebratory round of golf?
Yeah, it was planned. I almost had to cancel, but it's good to get out here. There's not too many warm days left up in Toronto, so they're taking advantage of today.
Dylan, you had an interesting welcome to the NHL moment in your first game with a bit of a revolving door of goaltenders. Tell us what you remember about your NHL debut.
Yeah, it was a crazy night. One that, like you said, and I'll never forget that. It started with our starting goalie being hurt, and then the goalie who was supposed to start getting hurt in sewer ball before the game, and then Colin Delia, who we played with in Rockford for the last couple of years, he got the start and ended up cramping up in the third period where he couldn't move anymore. So they had to call in Scott Foster, kind of a household name around the league now. But, yeah, he came in, I think, with 7 or 8 minutes left, and we were kind of just all laughing. I think we had a 6-2 lead at the point, but he did an amazing, amazing job. He stopped Big Buff. He stopped Laine. He stopped a bunch of guys. And I think we were defending a little extra hard for him, but it was a pretty awesome welcome into the league. And, you know, after your first game, you're expecting maybe in a couple of interviews or something like that, but you got all the spotlight.
The accountant upstaged you.
And, you know, how much the fans kind of guided around that guy, because he was an awesome guy.
A couple of assists for you in that game as well, and this was obviously on the tails of the end of your Northeastern career. Well, just give us, you know, share your experience of going to Northeastern and coming up in with Jim Madigan and how college hockey specifically prepared you for the NHL.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think you know, like I said, I was always a smaller guy growing up. I wasn't really on the radar too much. Even in the OHL draft or the NHL draft, I had gone a year late than I was supposed to. But, yeah, it was the best 4 years of my life. I'm happy that I stayed for all 4 years and got that experience and grew as a player, and I think it helped me a lot. And, you know, having the chance to right out of college to step into the NHL was awesome. And luckily with Chicago, that was the only place I was able to do that. So it was a great experience. And like you said, I think it was only 5 games at the time, 2 weeks, but it was cool because I got to go out there, play, and then I got to go back to school and graduate and see all my buddies again. So it was a pretty fun month and way to end my college career.
Well, just aside from the warmth coming from the cold climates that you have over the years, what do you really know about Vegas? What excites you about being here other than the in-game arena atmosphere?
Yeah, well, not too much. I've been down once with my family before, obviously not for hockey purposes, but yeah, like you said, playing there, seeing the atmosphere and how much, you know, over the short amount of time that you guys have been a part of the league, how much the fan base has grown and just the kind of the buzz around the league. I know a couple of even my close buddies here have been Vegas fans since they opened up, and it's always been an intriguing spot, obviously, with the warm weather and the strip and lots to do, lots going on. You know, really excited to kind of get down in that buzz of the city and to play hockey down there is going to be amazing.
Well, I know we're certainly excited to have you too, and there's a lot of golf here as well. Just I can't believe this hasn't been asked. Like, what hole are you on? How's your game? Are you doing well today?
we're on hole 4 here. Just me and my two buddies. I think they just hit. Are you guys out of bounds?
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're both out of bounds. So
okay, what about you? Are you up?
Dylan's a husky. He's 2 under par through three.
Put the ball on a peg and let's hit one. We've got a minute and
a half.
Just put the phone down and we'll talk around it.
I want to hear it, though.
Yeah. All right, I'll hit one for you guys.
Dylan Sakura is on the 4th hole.
This is the first live golf shot in Nighttime at Noon history.
We have to.
Ever. All right, here we go.
5 iron. Stands over it. Wind right to left.
Bit downhill.
Focusing intently on the shot ahead.
Hit it.
He's got to make sure his head's down. Head down, Dylan. Don't forget.
Follow through.
Hit it hard and far. Straight.
How'd we do?
Okay, how'd you do?
Fours for my buddies. That one wasn't too good.
4!
No? Oh, nice. Who are your buddies?
Just 2 buddies I played junior hockey with here in Aurora.
Yeah.
Got to stay in touch.
Who are their names? Give us the. I want them to get
comped. Tyler Boston and Noah Dalmas.
Okay, Tyler and Dawson. When they come to town, we get them comped. At least Gordon can, or you can. You've got more pull now as a member of the Golden Knights organization. Hey, congratulations! Play well today, and I look forward to running into you in person when you arrive in the city.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to getting down there.
Dylan Sakura. He's going to look for his golf ball right now. And mull over joining the Golden Knights.
I love it.
That was fun. We have a lot going on this week, and it's going to all sort of culminate with the lead up to the National Hockey League draft next Tuesday and Wednesday, and then free agency. So a lot happening. Thanks to Gordon and Stormy and Garrett and Dylan. I'm Darren Millard. This has been Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. The VGK Insider Show is coming up at 4 o'clock with Ryan Wallace.